Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Star Center Olympus, where we assemble monthly to explore the vast spiritual legacy bequeathed to us through the Unarian revelations. I am Hercules Invictus. The Unarius Academy of Science represents a vast spiritual organization of highly evolved beings, generically referred to as the Unaria Brothers, whose teachings were channeled by Ernest and Ruth Norman and are disseminated by the Academy. Echoes of the Olympians reverberate throughout the vast Unarius cosmology. The first inspired tome penned by Ernest L. Norman was titled The Elysium. The five volumes of the Pulse of Creation series, which contain many of the Unarian core teachings, are titled The Voice of Venus, The Voice of Eros, The Voice of Hermes, The Voice of Orion, The Voice of Neus, Elysium, and Unarius. Classical columns and Hellenic statuary grace the public areas of the Unarius building to honor the Golden Age of Greece. And in the Unarius Academy of Sciences Star Center, a mural commemorates fabled Atlantis at the apex of her glory. These Olympian elements first drew my attention to Unarius, but the greater my exposure to this organization, the more impressed I become at the depth and vastness of Unarius' cosmic vision, the positivity of their message, and their dedication to continuing the work of their founders. Mount Olympus greatly honors the vast contribution of the Unarius Brothers and the Unarius Academy of Science to the evolution of human consciousness. We are currently building bridges to the Golden Age light that shines brightly through their collected lore. Today, I am very honored to have with me Unarians David Reynolds and Paula Rich Greenwood, and we are going to be exploring the mysteries of the brain. Greetings and welcome.
Greetings.
Greetings, Hercules. Thank you.
And thank you. I'm glad you're here. This is quite a large topic, and I'm sure this is going to have a part two to it. David, what made you
choose? It's going to be a challenge to get our brain around it.
Yes, definitely. What made you suggest this topic?
From time to time, I like to look at the internet for latest scientific articles, and I recently discovered an article about the neurons and what they know so far and what there is still to know about neurons and their activity, what keeps them alive, what keeps them communicating with one another.
So wow.
I found it fascinating because Dr. Norman has a depth of knowledge that goes into how the brain cell actually works.
And I'm looking forward to being enlightened about that. Paula, greetings.
Greetings. Good to be here and hear you and talk with you.
Same here. And I hear that you too are interested in the brain and its functions and a bit beyond the mundane that we're used to.
Yes, although I don't quite have the scientific background that Dave does, but the brain is fascinating and the Unarius perspective is so interesting, and furthermore, there's just so much happening in science, as Dave elaborated on, validate what was said so many years ago by Ernest Norman, co-founder of Unarius.
Well, thank you very much. So we will start exploring the brain. David, how is information coded in our neural activity? You brought up the neurons. How do we store the information? How do we derive experience and knowledge from it?
Well, the average human adult contains approximately 100 billion neurons or brain cells.
Wow.
Neurons are the cells in the brain that send and receive electrical and chemical signals. They are the building blocks of your brain and transmit information to other neurons. But there's another body that we have, you know, in addition to our physical body. It's a spiritual body or a psychic body. It works with an electronic system. So sometimes we call it the electronic body, the electric body, and it's the one body, the spiritual body, that follows us from life to life. So we only have this one physical body in this lifetime, and then we discard it at the end of our life cycle. And then our psychic body continues on into a higher spiritual dimension or whatever dimension we prepared ourselves for. So when they look at the neurons, they have counted that there are as many neurons in the human brain as there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy.
Wow.
In fact, when you look at a map of the universe, it looks very similar to the neuron network that they've mapped out in the human brain.
Well, that is amazing. Paula, would you care to expand on that or to add to it?
What was your original question?
How is information coded in our neural activity? Now I'm curious to learn more about the spiritual body and how that ties into it as well.
Right. Well, on a physical level or a therapeutic level, with my background as a psychotherapist, what's interesting is they're starting to do therapies that focus attention on where the memory is coded in the brain. One example of a therapeutic model that I've been taught, called EMDR, it's a technique that is used to help trauma victims, and the technique itself focuses on the brain where the memory is coded. And today I went and looked. I knew that they've been doing this technique was discovered, I think, in the 80s. And since then, the neurosciences have expanded so much since then that they are now doing MRI imaging and other kinds of scanning imaging of the brain before and after this treatment is conducted. And what's fascinating is that it shows how the imaging is lighting up in certain areas of the brain, how it's very lit up before the therapy session, and afterwards all those lighted areas dissipate, which indicates that a healing. And the self-report of the patient reports improvement and healing from it. So it's very fascinating.
So this would be the electric body that David was talking about? With the brain lighting up with activity?
Yes, but I think this technique, what it does, because it did show some lighting in the hypothalamus, and Ernest Norman talks about how that psychic energy body, the psychic anatomy, how in how our energy body and hypothalamus is connected to our subconscious and our mental conscious and our thalamus. And so I think the parts of the brain where this trauma is connecting to that energy body, basically, from past life and current life with the trauma from this life and then a regeneration of energies from similar past lives.
So once again, Unarius has revealed information that it's taken decades for the rest of the world to find their way to. That is awesome.
Yes.
David, now in terms of the electrical spirit body, where do memories reside? Are they in the spiritual body, or are they in the physical brain, or a combination of both?
Well, that's a good question. Scientists have no idea where memory lies. They think that somewhere in the brain cells or somewhere in the brain, they think memory resides in one of the lobes. But every brain cell floats in a thin pool of plasma. It does not actually touch its neighbor cell. It is kept alive and powered, so to speak, by virtue of the fact that it's connected through harmonic frequencies to a number of inner dimensions. So we can take seeing as an example. So So when light comes into the eye, it first enters into the lens and then is focused back onto the retina. The retina is made up of cones and rods and contains phosphorus compounds. The light waves are stepped up in frequency to travel over the optic nerve to the occipital lobe of the brain. Regeneration once again occurs as the waveform information enters the hypothalamus gland. The hypothalamus is a direct connection to the psychic body. So that energy gets stepped up in frequency to UHF, ultra-high frequency, to be compatible with the psychic energy structures or vortexes. Now, the energy waveforms will seek out a matching energy structure in the subconscious portion of the psychic body, as well as other portions that have to do with past lives. So this return trip that makes a full return cycle, it takes about a millionth of a second. So if you look at an object, let's say a chair or a car, the energy goes through the optic nerves and the brain has stepped up the frequency. And now when it enters into the psychic body, it looks for an identical chair, your experiences with a chair. So first of all, it intermixes with the subconscious, which means or contains all the experiences in this life with a chair. So then there's also a regeneration with the other part of the psychic body that has to do with all of your previous lives. Plus, it has to do with the superconsciousness. So when that energy hits all of that or intermixes or heterodynes with that exact image of a chair, it feeds back to the brain and the person sees the chair. And that round trip, like I said, takes about a millionth of a second. So that whole loop is called memory. So the return trip is called memory. So when you go to sleep, you suspend that oscillation, that loop, that circuit. And so the conscious mind is asleep and put into a recharge situation. So the whole psychic body and the physical body can go through a period of rejuvenation. So when you wake up the next morning, you have, your memory continues on. So memory is not stored in the physical brain. It is stored in our electronic body called the psychic body in waveforms, which are extremely high frequency. They're vortexual in nature, so they're cyclical. So the time element has kind of been removed from it. And when the energy comes back to the physical, it's converted into what we call directional energy or sine wave, where there is time and space. So when it is in the it's in the spiritual body, there is no time related to it. Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a lot to think about. I could relate to that from several points of my own experience, which I'll get into a little later. Paula, how does psychotherapy look at the memory, and how does it tie into the Unarius way of looking at memory?
Well, psychotherapy really doesn't have the perspective of the Unarius principles of teachings with energy and intelligence. Psychotherapy focuses on conscious memory of trauma events or on whatever emotions that someone is going through, whether they're depressed or anxious. And it's really a third dimensional approach, psychotherapy, today. But the future of healing on Earth will be the understanding of this science and how this energy body works, our psychic anatomy, in conjunction with, you know, stimuli like Dave described with the chair and the occipital lobe, but through the understanding of past life, that all of our negative emotions and physical illnesses and mental diseases are a result of a past life condition that is that we're in phase with energetically in our present life. And until you understand how to cancel out that energy, a true healing won't happen. You know, psychotherapy is a temporary cognitive healing that may provide some brief benefit, emotional benefit, but the true healing won't happen until you can cancel out that energy.
May I add to that?
Sure.
Add to that?
Of course.
So if you're looking at a chair and you've had a previous life or a number of previous lives where you were strapped into a chair and bad things happened to you, you probably would have a very adverse reaction to that chair. And it might happen on a subconscious level, but you might feel very uncomfortable sitting in that same kind of chair because it represented something negative in your past lives. So this is the way we look at things that we tune into. Does it give us a negative feeling? Does it give us a positive feeling? Are we upset by what we, you know, sit in, you know, whatever? So as Paula was alluding to, the true therapy is when tomorrow's the futuristic therapist will be trained to look into the past life. Past life therapy will be able to resolve many, many traumas that people are suffering. And if you were tortured in the Inquisition, the Holy Roman Inquisition in Germany or Europe, and you had a very bad situation, you possibly would encounter that energy in different forms. It might be sitting in a chair. You might have hyperactivity disorder where you can't really, you've got to keep moving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just relaxed, you're just kind of uptight all the time. Who knows what it is? It would be unique for each individual, but this is what the basic physics of it is to try to understand through self-analysis, what are you feeling? What is your reaction? You know, what is the negativity of the situation? So some people can't stand to fly. Some people can't stand long drives. Some people can't stand heights. Or water, you know, all of those are things that are that travel along this brain psychic body connection. I call it an information highway that's very fast, very fast.
So through such disciplines as hypnotherapy, because now hypnotherapy deals with past lives and tries to explore them and heal them, you can explore this life and the lives that came before it. How does what Unarius does differ from, like, standard hypnotherapy and their techniques?
Well, I would say that we Unarians, we advocate you having your own inner connection to your own higher self and the spiritual brotherhood that are assisting you. We do not advocate you opening up your consciousness to somebody else, another person. We don't recommend that because that's a risky situation. All kinds of forces could come into your consciousness without your knowledge. It's better to follow what Jesus was trying to describe. It's physician, heal thyself. So within you, within your own mental psychic makeup, you have the ability to connect to higher spiritual forces, and they are the best ones to rely on for you to get that past life information. It might be through a dream state. It might be through keeping a journal. It might be that when you are showering in the morning, you have this insight, but that is the way that Unarius prefers that people get that information, not through hypnotherapy.
Okay, thank you very much. Paula?
I think that part of what you were asking was past life regression. Is that what you also were referring to or no?
Yes, past life regression. I know that before that was something that was delegated to the realm of metaphysics, but I've met many hypnotherapists and I've interviewed many on the podcast So hypnotherapy seems to accept that more and more, and to use past life regression as a tool to try to unlock memories and heal traumas that happened before this life.
Right. Well, I'm not familiar with the techniques that they're using, but I do know that years ago, a few years before I contacted you, Narius, I met a woman who did past life regression, and a group of people that I knew, we laid down and we did this. She guided us through this technique and imagery, but it was very similar to something Uriel did for us later when I was a student. When we were at her home, she had us all lie on the floor, and she verbally guided us through this relaxation exercise, and then also verbally guided us to tune in to these higher worlds, and with the purpose of looking at one of our past lives. And it was very similar. So, and it was very beneficial, but we had her, you know, her highly developed self to guide us through that, and we were protected. Now, if someone was going to do that past life regression was a similar kind of technique, I would highly recommend that it's someone that has some spiritual development, because you don't want to unknowingly open yourself up and invite something from a lower astral that's impersonating, you know, impersonating someone or feeding you wrong information, because you would be vulnerable in that state.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much. And going back to the spiritual body, or the electric body in our current body, we cycle through emotions throughout the day. And as you Unarians have pointed out time and time again, you can become aware of them and not fall into the emotional turmoil that many people are caught up into, just through awareness and asking yourself certain questions. Where does this emotional tumult and all these different mental states reside, and how can Unarius help someone with that?
Well, the emotions reside in the psychic body. Like I said, the subconscious contains all the experiences you've had in this lifetime. So when you die, the physical death, the subconscious fades away. And when you are born again or reincarnated, you get a brand new subconscious.
Okay.
But the mental part of this, the mental part of the psychic body is contains all of your past life experiences in memory form. So when you encounter something that makes you emotional, that means usually there's some negative past life that you've encountered or touched upon frequency-wise. So if this, the Unarian is taught to be, to how to do self-analysis. So if you are reacting in a negative way toward any situation, then you've got to stop, look, and listen. You've got to analyze, okay, I don't want this to regenerate and get out of hand, because you know, you don't want to go down that road. You want to stop it and say, okay, well, I'm a spiritual person. Now I know to be analytical about these things. Therefore, you can cancel out some of that incoming energy waveform. So if you look around the world today, you see all kinds of negative reactionary situations, but people are not trained to catch them, to stop, to analyze, okay, what kind of criticism is coming through my mind? What kind of finger pointing am I allowing to come through my mind? So when you permit negative emotions to enter in your consciousness, you should pay attention to that and say, wait a minute, these are like breadcrumbs to a past life that I, or a number of past lives that I can deal with properly. So Unarius teaches you how to properly deal and cancel out the effect that it has. So if you look at the political situation, I mean, a lot of people are so reactionary toward politics,
right,
that they will allow a tremendous amount of negativity to come into their minds, and they will accumulate guns, and they will go against their brothers and sisters in a violent method. And that is not what we need in this world. We need to back off on that kind of reactionary thinking. We should stop that reactionary thinking and turn it to a positive. In other words, as Jesus pointed out, we all have the same Father, the infinite and creative intelligence. We all are, should be, brothers and sisters. And the thing that interferes with that is the negative past lives that come into our consciousness. And usually our superconscious will sometimes direct those energies to come into our life so that we can look at them. When you look at them with a spiritual consciousness, you can practice self-mastery and you can say to yourself, look, this energy coming in does not master me. I am the master of my own emotional state. So quite often the Unarian person turns it around and they practice cancellation. So when you change the phase relationship of that energy to an 180 degrees out of phase, you start canceling it out. If you don't pay attention to it and you just give into it, it's like, you ever heard feedback on a speaker system with a microphone?
Yes.
It's a horrible scream. And that is an example of where the energy is in phase, and in phase it just regenerates and builds up. But if you can stop it and be analytical, you can change the phase relationship and mitigate all that energy coming into your psychic body. I mean, through your, from the psychic body into your mind, your brain.
I find that that's a powerful technique too, to just, I meditate twice a day, and that's taught me to like step back a little bit and not get caught up in the reactive storms that course through our system all the time. And the more you do it, like any other habit, the easier it becomes, so that you don't have to get caught up in that particular storm and disrupt all, you know, your inside states of mind and stay stuck in that. You have a choice to do something else. Paula?
Yes. I just would add something that I just recalled. Sometimes when we're in a reliving and we're reactionary with anger, resentment, sometimes for myself, the answer doesn't come right away, you know, once you try to self-analyze. And what Uriel would suggest that we do to get out of that negative of consciousness, to do something positive, like something she used to do when she was younger, is that she would go by hats. You know, her generation, the females were into, you know, these hats, these fashionable hats. But as students, are you still there?
I'm still here. I was adjusting the sound.
Okay. She would have us do something creative, a painting or a poem or music or cook, bake a cake or, you know, just do something positive to get out of that. That negative consciousness, you know, until you have the information that's affiliated with that past life so you can cancel it out.
So it would come to you intuitively or by entering an altered state?
No, I'm saying sometimes when I'm emotional and reactionary and I don't have the information yet through my journaling, to get out of that state, you do something positive.
Okay.
You know, you redirect your thoughts and actions to something to distract from that emotion, like artwork or music or baking, just something to kind of redirect the thoughts, basically, until the information from the past life fully comes through to recognize what that reliving is, what that emotional reaction is.
Okay, I understand.
Can I share a technique, Hercules? So,
yes, please.
Dr. Norman wrote of a particular technique. So you remember as a child when you took a magnifying glass, you held it up to the sun and you burned a leaf or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Well, the the light of the sun through the magnifying glass was focused to a point of light.
Right.
So Dr. Norman says that every day or every so often, you should write in your journal, which is objectifying. So the process of objectifying is the same, similar, is that you have to understand you have a higher self. It's made up of lighted energies, and it's connected to a higher energy field, you know, the infinite intelligence. So when you write in your journal, it's called objectification. You're doing the exact same thing. You're focusing a beam of light on what you're going through. So when you write in your journal, you're actually focusing part of your energy to be focused toward the frontal lobes, where all the thinking is. You know, the I forgot what you call that part, but anyway. So you are now changing the frequency. Like Paula said, you can go bake a cake. You could do something kind for somebody else. You can go buy a hat, buy a new dress, whatever it is. Just change the frequency. So one of the techniques Dr. Norman wrote about is when you objectify what you're going through, just write it out. Write it out raw if you want to. Don't edit anything. And then let it alone. Your higher self will sometimes download to you through altered state of consciousness or whatever, when you're transcended is what we call it, when you're totally not thinking about it, sometimes the higher self, the superconscious, will download to you what is the resolution to what you're going through, what's the past life you're tuned into. So that's the beauty of objectification.
I have to try that. I journal my dreams, but I haven't really been journaling. I deal with things as they come up, but I haven't really been journaling, but that sounds like a very productive use of journaling, so I will try that. Thank you.
You can actually do it with your mind sometimes when you get used to doing it. Sometimes you can just do it mentally, and your higher self will know exactly what you're going through, exactly when you're ready for the answer.
I will definitely do that today. This has been a very interesting time that all of us have been going through. You brought up dreams and sleep, and then dreams were touched upon a couple of times. Where do dreams take place, and how can we integrate our dreams into this process of becoming aware and resolving past life problems?
Well, sometimes when you dream, and the dream is not really a positive dream, it's an indication that an accumulation of negative static energy is accumulating from your past negative lives, and it's giving you hints. Some people get a lot of past life information through their dreams when they're properly interpreted. But interpreting it properly is a challenge sometimes. Sometimes you get very positive dreams. I know Paula has had some very positive dreams with her spiritual teacher. And sometimes when I'm when I need to be giving a warning, my spiritual teacher, Uriel, will appear in my dreams. And sometimes when I wake up, I'll be extra alert, you know? So dreams, sometimes the dream state is a very good avenue or channel for you to be made aware of some of the past life information you're encountering and processing. Because sometimes this past life information is not easy to process. And planet Earth hasn't had this technique. You know, it's the Unarians know about it a lot. Some of the spiritual metaphysical students know about it. But the world as a whole have not been taught to use the dream analysis interpretation as a proper tool.
Yes, and speaking about the mind and dreams, every night we're like in a holodeck that presents different scenarios. Our brain or our mind behind the brain is capable of creating 3D simulations that have sensory input and that appear very real. So that is amazing. I never stop being awed at how real dreams appear and can be experienced. Paula?
Yes. I just would add one little thing, and just from my experience with dreaming and my understanding of dreams, according to Unarius, have to do with our past lives. And so sometimes some nightmares that I may have or really scary dreams, I feel like I've been in the lower astral plane during that dream state. And I think it's because I'm dreaming with people from a past life that was not a positive life, and it's a lower frequency nature. And I think it is in the lower astral that that dream is taking place. And on the opposite end of that spectrum, where I am dreaming of Uriel and having a beautiful encounter with her, I think that's on a higher astral plane, you know, on a higher celestial realm, that that contact is taking place. So I think, you know, dreams are very interesting, but most times it has to do with what our past lives are and what we're going through in our day-to-day life, I have found, anyways.
Thank you very much.
So, Hercules, may I want
sure.
to go back to something really interesting about brain cells. Now,
okay.
Scientists know that there's 6 cortexual layers, and there's communication between the cortexual layers, but here's what Dr. Norman really explains it. So each brain cell is like a diode. A diode will only conduct electricity in one direction only. So the first cortexual layer transmits incoming energy from the psychic body. It passes it on to the next layer, and the next layer transmits it back to the psychic body. So if you can imagine in your mind, layer number one has these brain cells that are like diodes, and they're only going to transmit electrical energy one direction, and that is into the brain. And now the neurons get that information through its network, and now the second layer is a diode or brain cell oriented the other way, and it passes electrical energy only back one way, back to the psychic. So you can see how the 6 layers interact with one another. It's an even number. So there is a closed circuit condition with the psychic body. And when you die, you cut that oscillation. You sever that circuit, so that now you're completely freed of the brain cells doing anything, any activity, the conscious mind. And now you're totally in your psychic body. And now it will gravitate to whatever dimension or plane of spirituality that you've prepared yourself for. So this is part of what neurology doesn't understand, that it's there is electricity that's been discovered in the brain. Now, when the synapse fires, it's one way that brain cells communicate with one another without wires, wirelessly. There is a gap called the synaptic gap, and there's a small little voltage that's passed between brain cells. That's how they communicate. Now, where in our modern-day electricity or electronics do you ever hear of anything like that? Well, Nikola Tesla experimented with the very same devices. His Tesla coil incorporated a spark gap, which was part of the Tesla coil, which stepped up energy from a low frequency to a higher frequency. And this is what the brain is involved in, stepping down energy, stepping up energy. And like I said, it happened so fast, within a millionth of a second, that you, as a human being, you don't even perceive any difference. So it's an amazing device we have in our brain. And sometimes when a person goes through a trauma, an accident, that brain oscillation with the psychic body is interrupted, and that person may recover with proper, therapy, medical science, and LOVE, love energies. Those are all very important to healing. But sometimes a person is brain dead, and they're just kept alive by a machine, and that means that oscillation, that frequency voltage interaction with the brain and the psychic body is interrupted. So that person will have to wait until another reincarnation before they can reestablish, a future body. And that's what's so fascinating, is that our future therapists will be able to properly understand this. Now, you know as well as I that you can read about people who are in a coma. And
right.
You can talk to them, and they will hear you. That's because they're out of their body, and that oscillation is partially suspended, but there's still a psychic communication going on. And that's
yes,
the higher part of the brain function. It's the higher part of the brain function or the psychic body. So really, the memory consists of different memory cells in the psychic body, all functioning at different frequency realms. And to me, it's just one of the most fascinating things how neurons work.
And how they fit into this whole big picture. Before we move on to consciousness itself, and the workings of the brain, I'll ask Paula if she has anything to add to what David just shared.
Well, just something that is interesting that I was reading today that has to do with that energy body and that connection in the brain or the mind, and that that hypothalamus, where that energy structure is a receiver of information, either from our psychic anatomy, our past lives, or from the connection with our higher self, our super consciousness, and that alignment with more advanced beings or the God, the infinite creative God intelligence. But Ernest Norman described the energy body, and he described the chakras, that the yogis have described throughout our energy body, like the crown chakra and the solar plexus and kundalini and all of that. But then he added an additional information that at the hypothalamus, which I presume is the crown chakra, that right above our heads in our energy body is a cone of light energy that has been measured to extend up to 20 feet above a person's head. So I thought that was really interesting. And it made me also think of people who are clairvoyant or mediums, or even people who meditate and tune into their third eye, which I think is affiliated with the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. And I just think that center of the brain, that energy center, is an important energy structure that connects us to these higher energies, these higher mind energies, and the energies from our psychic anatomy that has the energy vortices that are memories of our past life.
Wow, so there's a lot going on that our consciousness is not even aware of at any given point in time.
Yes.
So let me see if I understand correctly. According to the teachings of Unarius, the mind and the brain, although they're interrelated, are not the same thing, which is what most people believe, that they're one and the same.
That's correct, because the mind is an energy field that's connected and a function of the interdimensional energy field we call the psychic body or the electric body. And it is connected to the The superconsciousness. The superconsciousness is connected directly to the heart of infinity or the infinite intelligence. So therefore, the superconsciousness powers consciousness or the mind. The mind is completely different than the brain. The brain only receives that those signals from the psychic body or the mind. Now, if a person is aware of this, can you imagine how they can expand their consciousness?
Oh, yes.
All this knowledge is incredible, you see? And so a person can develop infinite consciousness, so they are aware of this connection with the higher mind, the superconsciousness. And then they can become, you know, a better person in tune with the service, like Nikola Tesla, Albert Einstein, and all of those people who had a connection to the higher mind. Now, planet Earth, most people are connected to a lower mind. They're not aware of this potential of their cosmic consciousness. They're not aware of the ability to obtain cosmic consciousness. But first you have to have the knowledge of how the brain and the mind or the psychic body works together in harmony. In other words, there is an alignment between the two. So a lot of people, they practice meditation, and really what they're doing is trying to calm an emotional state and practice realigning to their inner self. This is what Jesus came to teach, that we have an inner self and we need to learn to work with it. So the mind is not in the brain.
Thank you very much, David. Paula?
Well, what David just said reminded me of something I was looking at today, you know, as he described that alignment to the super consciousness and not being really the brain itself, but more that mind, that energy structure. So today when I was scrolling on the computer looking for brain images, I came across another study that was done that brain scanning that they were doing with people who were having a mystical or paranormal experience, and they found that certain areas of the brain would light up, and I think that is a location of where that energy structure isn't aligned to their superconscious self. And they also found, they researched and studied musicians that were doing improvised, you know, not looking at notes or lyrics, but creating it inspirationally in that moment. And their part of the brain lit up in the same place where, from the research that they found with the mystical or paranormal experiences. And I think science has a long way to go, but we're slowly getting there to the future devices that Ernest Norman and other Unarius brothers have predicted that we will have on Earth, like the psychic anatomy viewer, which will be equipment that can look into our psychic anatomies and help a healing through canceling out those aberrated, malformed energy waveforms that are part of our psychic energy body. And healing can occur.
I believe we will have those instruments. Like right now, those of us who grew up with Star Trek, we see that we have communicators and tricorders already, or at least their equivalent. So much that was thought to be science fiction and pure imagination back in the 60s is now commonplace, and we don't think twice about it.
Exactly.
Another thing is that when a clairvoyant or a psychic medium, sometimes when they're scanned or whatever, their pineal gland is activated. That means that their pineal gland is, like, I guess you can call it their third eye, and it facilitates their paranormal facilities, their paranormal thinking. So this is the kind of person we need to train in the future to have more people who are light bearers, who are in tune with their paranormal parts of their mind so they can be more of a help. Because sometimes when you clairvoyantly see something, the rest of the world doesn't see that, but you do.
Right.
I mean, Michael Faraday, you know, he saw clairvoyantly lines of force, you know, and that started a whole revolution in how our electronics was developed, you know. And Max Planck, he saw clairvoyantly how energy is, you know, passed down through different dimensional layers, now called quantum theory. So you can see how the paranormal facilities of the mind are, in most respects, underdeveloped in our world. So when you go to the University of the Future, you will see much more emphasis placed on psychic ability, and the pineal gland is going to be a part of it. So we don't really... we don't really say that you should stimulate the pineal gland, therefore you're going to have a more cosmic consciousness. It's the opposite. Once you have that knowledge and that spiritual alignment, the inner alignment with your higher self, then you could become, you know, you have more ESP, you have more intuition, you have more inner spiritual guidance, more clairvoyance, telepathy, out-of-body experience are now normal for you. And the rest of the world is not going to be laughing at this much longer. Right now, these things are being embraced, you know, openly in documentaries and the History Channel, and has all kinds of great information about the paranormal facilities of the mind. So knowledge moves us to a better world, to know more, to discover more. Interdimensional knowledge moves us forward in our soulic evolution.
That is powerful. And unfortunately, we don't have that much longer to go on tonight. I'd love this conversation to continue, and I'd like to do a part two. But first, Paula, would you like to add to anything David said?
No, not at all.
Okay,
well,
thank you.
I'll just add one final thing. That in the future that there will be more mediums and clairvoyants and channelers that can provide past life therapy readings. You know, some of the students at Unarius today are being trained with that, but there will be more people, more developed people that are coming into this world that will have that ability. Development of a higher frequency to be able to do that kind of work and therapy and healing.
And I love the fact that Unarius has such a positive and progressive vision of the future. And with such vision on a much greater level than a television show entertainment, the world can and will change for the better.
Yes.
Absolutely. In fact, the world is in great need of a new age, a new spiritual renaissance, and it's slowly coming about. You know,
I believe that.
Right now, the existence of extraterrestrial planets is a known scientific fact. We already have exoplanets covered through satellite systems like named after Kepler, and they're building more sensitive telescopes to sense planets and other solar systems. So the idea that we're not alone in the universe is more of a scientific reality now than it was 10, 15 years ago. People would laugh at you 20 years ago.
Yeah,
not all your screws were intact. They would take out the butterfly net.
But now we live in a different time, more enlightened, and hopefully we'll become more enlightened still as the years progress. How can people find their way to Unarius and start exploring all the wonderful lore that the Unarius Academy of Science is preserving and promulgating?
Unarius means universal, articulate, interdimensional understanding of science or the science of life. We have a toll-free number. You can leave a message if you like. 800-475-7062, 800-475-7062. You can go to our website, Unarius, UNARIUS.org, or you can email us at Uriel, U-R-I-E-L, at Unarius.org. And we have a website. You're free to look around and give us a contact, and we'll be happy to respond to you.
Thank you very much. Paula, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Yes, you can find some Unarius videos on YouTube at Unarius33, the number 33, and on the Unarius website, there's a link to Facebook, and then I think is it LA34? Dave, do you know that public access station in Los Angeles where they can watch? Okay, well then I won't give that one because I can't remember.
It's been on our website.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. I've missed both of you, and I'm glad we had a chance to have this brief conversation today. I wish it was longer. And I enjoyed learning from both of you and exchanging thoughts. Would you like for us to schedule a part two at your earliest convenience and get into more of the powers of the mind and the different levels of being?
Sure.
Awesome. Let me know when you're available, and I'll schedule it right away.
All right. Thank you so much, Hercules. I really appreciate all you do.
And I appreciate all you do. I want to give a special thanks to Celeste, who gave me a crash course in the mind as a step-down system. And so what you were sharing with me made a lot more sense to me a lot quicker. So I really appreciate that as well. Thanks to both of you. Thanks to everybody at Unarius. And thanks to our wonderful audience, who, whether you called in, whether you listened on the internet, or whether you'll be joining us later on demand at your leisure. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And I will close with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley. Thanks again, Paula and David. You're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Harley.
You're welcome.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream. till it's real. Dream till it's real.